Noob and Solo Talk Anime Podcast, episode number one, No Guns Life. So basically, this is a anime. It's based off the same manga that was in Ultra Jump back in 2014. It's anime adaptation. It was done by Madhouse, and it originally aired from October, December of 2019. And it was simul-dubbed on Funimation, but the sub-only version was available on Hulu. So how did you actually watch it?
I binge watched all of it in like 2 days.
Did you watch it in English or Japanese?
I watched it in English.
See, I had to watch it on Hulu, so I saw it all in Japanese with subtitles. So I wonder if our opinions are different because of that.
Maybe. I don't really think so, though, because I don't think, like, you know, because a lot of, like, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I did not overall like it, but it's not really because of anything with the voice acting or even really with the characters. It was just overall the story in general I actually thought was just kind of boring.
Yeah. Like, well, I guess we can just jump into the overall impressions of it, because I kind of feel very similarly to you. I did think it was pretty boring, and I feel like the story didn't really go anywhere in the full 12 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, that's the thing, too, is, like, it seems like at least at the start, it was trying to build up to be more of, like, a serialized anime that had one long continuing story, like, an overarching story that, you know, drove, like, the motivations of the characters in each episode, and it ended up being more like just an episodic type of thing, where it's, like, each episode didn't really seem to affect any other episode in any meaningful way. And on top of that, like, it didn't really seem like characters, like, had any real motivations for doing anything. And, like, that would work great in a show like maybe, like, Family Guy or The Simpsons, where it's, like, each episode is basically its own thing. But in this, I was like, you have all this backstory. They set up, like what I thought was an interesting world. I like the cyberpunk noir mix that they were doing with it.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the extended. They felt like what are the names of those, like, those robot things from like Blade Runner?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember what they're called either.
Yeah, but it seemed like they were like that, but, like, yeah, with just, like, more like, you know, enhancements and stuff, or maybe something like, you know, the augmented and Deus Ex and stuff. But it's like, you know, outside of setting up this really interesting world, they had some really interesting characters, and then they do nothing with it. Like, Jizo or whatever, like, I thought he was going to be a really interesting character. He could have been, he was an interesting character, but he could have been more interesting if they had, like, fleshed out his backstory more. Why did he get the enhancements that he had? They don't ever touch that at all.
Well, that's the thing. I think the biggest problem with it is that they're doing 12 episodes, and from what I hear, the second part is going to be the next 12 episodes. That's going to come out in April of this year, but that's going to be the whole series. I don't think this is going to – I think it's going to be 24 episodes, and the manga, from what I'm aware of, is still ongoing too, so I don't really know – like,
well, if you're talking about 24 episodes, like, so the 12 episodes they have now plus another 12?
Yeah, and that's going to be the whole series from what I understand.
That doesn't justify the fact that they wasted 12 episodes not telling a story.
Well, that's the thing, though. Because the manga's still ongoing, so I don't really know where this show is kind of headed. Because I feel like if the manga series is going to be wrapped up in 24 episodes, or the anime series is going to be wrapped up in 24 episodes, and the manga doesn't even have an ending, this is going to be one of those animes that has, like, a original video animation ending, you know? So they're going to have to change some things. So I don't know how true to the manga this is. I don't know. Because, like, a part of me wanted to check out the manga after this, but I don't even know if I will be watching this part two of this at this point, honestly.
Honestly, I don't have any interest in really wanting to watch part two either, because it's like, they had 12 episodes. I mean, like, normally, like, if we were, like I was saying earlier, if we weren't doing this podcast, I would have given most anime 3 episodes, and then I would have said, if it didn't draw me into 3 episodes, I was like, okay, I'm done, moving on to something else. I gave this 12 episodes, and in 12 episodes, by the time I got to episode 12, I was still having to force myself to watch it, because I was like, I don't, like, these characters don't have any real motivations that are, like, describing them. Like, you don't really know anything about anybody's backstory except for little blurbs. And they focus most of, like, the backstory that they do tell in the show on exposition dumps about, like, the world and stuff. Like, why are two characters that know about certain events talking to each other about these events like they, you know, they're teaching somebody in school about them or something? Like, that's not a, that's not an organic way of telling a story. Like, you know those parts that, like, there's parts in every, like several episodes where, like, I remember when Olivier and, Jizo or whatever, they were talking to each other about some event that, like something where, like, the overextended, which are the guys in the show that have beyond normal extensions, like the main character, Jizo, like, they were talking about how the overextended have to, like, you know, have these licenses to be able to go around in public and stuff, and how if they break laws, they'll get, like, captured and disassembled and stuff. And they were talking to each other about it like they didn't know the other person already knew it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it was kind of, like, weird. There was a lot of moments that were like that. It's kind of... I liked what they did with the world and setting up just the idea of, like, you know, the cyborg society. And, like, I heard a lot of things about the show going up to watching it that were talking about how this show is, like, a deep, like, you know, oh, this is what society could be like if, you know, capitalism and, like, you know, everything took over. And it, I just feel like it's not as deep as that, as some people have looked into it.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing I can compare to, like, because you've played Deus Ex, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's the closest thing I could compare it to, and it seems like that's basically, like, the same thing they were trying to do, but in Deus Ex, they set up that backstory, and they set up, like, you know, the world, and, like, you know, like, the thing is, they also give the characters motivations for, like, you know, like, what they want to do in that world. The characters in the show, what is, like, I'm guessing Jizo's main motivation is just making money, but he doesn't get paid by a single client in all 12 episodes.
Well, we see on screen, though. I mean, it's implied that he's getting payments for some of his jobs.
Well, think about it. He gets ripped off. He intentionally gets ripped off on a lot of his jobs. So, like, for instance, he works for a Tetsuro, at first, like, helping save Tetsuro. Tetsuro doesn't ever have the money to pay him. Then, like, you know, he does the thing for Olivier, but he's basically doing it for her because, like he's forced to. So he's not gonna get paid for that, obviously. And then, in the very last episode, he had a client that was paying him to hunt a ghost.
Yeah, I know. And what a terrible way to end the first part of the series, right? Like, there should have been some kind of cliffhanger to make us want to come back, because that episode, I think, was probably one of the worst episodes of the whole series, and it was the last one right before the break. So they really didn't grip me to come back at this point, because I just don't care. I mean, like you said, like, the characters, they're cool. Like, there's a lot of good moments, but I feel like the show's concept might have just been, like, I want to draw a dude with a gun on his head and let's build a story around it. Like,
I mean, I do love the character design. Like, I thought Jizo, like, the gun slave design in general, you know, I thought it was kind of stupid before I watched it. But when you watch the show, it's like, yeah, this is an awesome, like, design. I thought, like, you know, some of the other overextended, like, that spider, like, chick in, like, it was, like, episode 2 or 3 or whatever, I thought she had a decent design. But then, like, you get to the characters' personalities. Like, a lot of the characters, even, like, some of the best design characters, their personalities are, like, meh. Like, Tetsuro. Yeah. I hate Tetsuro as a character.
I really do, too. And another thing is, like, the episode where he takes over his body, like, one of the early episodes, I think the whole time I was just very annoyed. And I guess that's the point, but it was just so stupid. And I couldn't really enjoy it at all.
And then on top of that, like, you know, like, Jizo seems to just instantly, like, he's like, well, after Tetsuro takes over his body, after Jizo gets his control of his body back, he just forgives Tetsuro. He's like, you know what, you know, you used me as a tool, but I'm gonna let it slide this time. I'm like, you're supposed to be this badass noir cyberpunk, like, you know, private eye or whatever that, like, resolves, like, issues amongst other extended in the city, and, like, come on, dude, like. I was like, I was expecting him to like, really be pissed or really dive in, drive home like how degrading it was to be have your body just being used as like a tool for somebody else to accomplish their objective, which was the main thing Tetsuro was like. It goes against everything that Tetsuro's like character is built on, which is like he didn't want to be used as a tool himself, and then he becomes the main guy using other characters in like several episodes as a tool with that Harmony device or
Harmony,
whatever.
yeah.
Yeah, like Harmony allows him to like take over other extended and control their bodies and stuff, but
Yeah,
it's basically allowing him to do the same thing that he said he didn't want other people to do to him. And it just kind of destroys him as a character even more so than the fact that his personality is just complete shit anyway. But
Well, I mean, he's not really going to have much of a personality because, from what we are led to believe, he really didn't have much of a childhood. He was just being experimented on. Like, and, Juzo, he doesn't even have a backstory because he doesn't remember his backstory. So I don't know if they're hinting at him remembering eventually or. Because there's so many, like, minor things that they foreshadow.
well, what I predict is that they'll probably start like, maybe like diving more into his backstory in like episode 20 or something. But by then, are you really gonna care?
Yeah, and that's the thing. There was someone in the chat here. They said that they were baited into watching the first episode. I mean, I kind of feel the same way. The marketing seemed interesting. That's the only reason I picked this to watch anyways, just because it looked like it could be something more. It kind of reminded me of I don't know if you've ever seen Gunslinger Girl.
No.
It kind of had that same vibe of kind of like a worn, torn conflict, and there's a little bit of like Ghost in the Shell vibes from some things. What do you think of like the overall animation style though? Like, there's
Oh,
some
the animation was great.
well, there's
Oh
some
my
mixed
God.
like CG scenes. Do you not feel like
Like,
some of that was a little.
I thought that they did a really good job of mixing the CG with the traditional drawing and stuff, and like it seemed like seamless. I like from what I saw, I'm guessing a lot of the CG stuff that you actually used the Unreal Engine for,
Yeah, they
which
did.
it I thought they did a really good job with the animation. Like the show looks incredible. I like the overall. I like the a lot of the environment designs. I like the especially like the scenes with the car, like where they're driving a car and stuff. Like I don't even remember that one detective dude's name, but like you remember like his really nice car and them driving through the city and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. The animation in the show looks great. I like I said before, I like a lot of the character designs. I just like I wish they had a done more with it, like with that too, because like there's only like you only see like maybe three or four different backdrops throughout the entire show for the most part.
Yeah, they keep going back to the home base like a lot, and then they'll
I mean, I feel
start
like it was
there.
a wasted opportunity to show off more of this really big, like futuristic cyberpunk industrialized city and stuff, and I
And
wanted to
well,
see more of that
here's
world.
a question for you. So do you at the end of watching all 12 episodes, do you understand the structure of the world? Because I'm still a little confused on which organization runs which thing. I get
I
like.
got that Beruin or whatever that organization is. They seem to be like pretty much. I mean, they
Are
seem
they
to be a
the.
private corporation that pretty much controls the cogs of
But,
government in this world.
yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. So it's like they're like a private company that kind of took over like the government because they created the extendeds in the first place. Is
Yeah.
that what we're meant to believe?
That's what I was understanding too. And it's
And
like, the government, I guess, would be represented by like the like the, I, there was like two like law enforcement agencies. There was the EMS, and then there was like that like was it the security group or whatever. So Olivier, she was like the director of like I think EMS.
But I'm saying like who's over the EMS though? Like who's the council that was over her?
It
Like who
seemed like it was
are they
like
the
the people
actual
who controlled
government?
Beruin. It seemed like just the people who
No.
controlled Beruin itself.
No,
So
the people
like.
that control them were in this that's like the CEO and all of them on that giant robot inside their headquarters.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I mean, I
Aren't
thought that
those
they
two
were the ones
separate
that were con
things? Like I thought.
that they're supposed to be.
But like
But
their corruption, I don't think they're the same people though. I feel like in the shadows they kind of control things, but then they have like conflicts with each other and they don't like each other. So I feel like there's just corruption there. It's just really kind of confusing. It's not explained well.
It's not explained well, even though that, like, you know, I'd say, like, you know, at least 50% of, like, the first half of the series so far is exposition dumps.
Well,
where they do
and then there's the then there's
it,
the
but...
two other factions. There's the there's like the radical, like, anti extended faction, and then there's the, like, extended, like, underground faction that are also
in the show.
Is that
the terrorist group that that one dude worked for?
Yeah, in the later episode, they're like, and they had them in the earlier episodes, just kind of setting it up, but they don't really go anywhere with it, and I just didn't feel like they did good enough a job. This kind of story kind of reminds me of Overwatch's story, actually, in a lot of ways. Like, especially that, the one character, what was his name? The armed, like, the guy who's, like, fully converted that was gonna get assassinated, but then it turned out he was the one who, like, organized it all.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about, like, the guy with the golden hair.
Yeah,
head,
the guy who's the hero guy. Like,
yeah.
He kind of, like, his whole story...
He kind of, like, I mean, maybe it's because of his voice in the English dub, but... He kind of, like, reminded me of All Might from My Hero.
I don't know. I didn't watch the English dub, so.
I think in English dub they have the same voice actor because he sounds exactly like All Might.
That's kind of hilarious.
Oh, man. But I was, like, thinking. And the thing is, he talks about himself like he's a real hero and stuff. And you start to think, man, this guy must be, like, a really, really – they had me on – like, I can't believe I got suckered by that. But I legitimately thought that he was, like, one of the good guys and stuff.
Well, here's the thing. From the beginning, I felt like there was going to be something off with him. I don't know. And another thing is, what about the fights in general? I feel like every fight scene kind of sucked, and they were all anticlimactic.
I kind of agree with you on that. Like, there was, like, only, like, one fight scene, and it wasn't even a fight scene that I thought was epic, and that was, like, the one, remember where Jizo was in that alley getting confronted by that one dude, and he had, like, the box of Jizo's cigarettes and stuff, and, like, you know, he thought he had, like, just, like, you know, like, he got all of his lackeys to, like, beat Jizo
well,
up.
That's the moment where he foreshadows, like, his true form, but he doesn't go to the true form, and then later in the series we got his true form, but it was, like, his rage mode form.
That was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, and they never even used it yet. Like, the whole part, I'm sure maybe they will in part two, but in part one so far, they haven't used his, like, actual gun, the actual trigger that comes out of his back, right?
No, they haven't used the one that come out of his back. They only used it for that other gun slave.
Well, did she use that, or did she use
his
head?
Yeah, she used that when she killed the guard.
I thought she used his head gun to do that.
No, I'm pretty sure, like, she pulled it. No, wait, did she?
I don't even remember. I think she used his head.
I do remember at one point she did pull a trigger out of his bag. I think it was when she was, you know, fighting Jizo in his office and stuff, though.
No, they confronted him there. She was going to do it, but he knocked him out before he could pull the trigger. I feel like that should be way more powerful. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, overall though, I was like, when I didn't think that, because they used the gun head, like, pretty early on in the show, and I was like episode 2 or 3, and mm-hmm. I was expecting more of a build up to it, and there really wasn't one. I mean, I'm dumping on the show. I'm gonna try to say some good things about the show. Like I said, I like the animation.
I like the animation for the most part.
I liked a lot of the character designs, and I think it has an interesting world, and it has the potential to be a really interesting. I mean, to have some really interesting stories told in that world. But you have to give characters motivations. They don't even have to be realistic motivations.
Yeah. Well,
they just have to be.
I'm a big character guy in, like, just anime and TV shows in general. I like to see, like, a character have a story arc, and, like, they have progression, and we really didn't get any of that this entire season.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it like, a character with no motivation can work in shows that, like, are designed around that, but this was, like, it seemed more like a character-driven drama that was written around characters that have no drama.
But my thing is, I think the biggest problem I have with the show is just the way the story is told, that it's like you were talking about at the beginning, the way the episodes are formatted, you'll have kind of this overarching plot line with, you know, the bad guys are looking for Harmony, and, like, they're trying to protect the kid or whatever. But then you have these, like, filler, they feel like literally filler episodes where he gets another job, and then he just, like, how can he just come back to his base and pursue his regular career over and over and over, you know? It's just kind of weird, and then he does these, like, little jobs. Especially glaring on the last episode, where it's just this filler arc with this ghost bullshit. But, I mean, I guess he gets that piece at the end, which might be, like, the secret to defeating them or whatever. But...
You know what? I would like to think that you're right about that. That thing is going to come in, like, to play a big play later on, but it seems like they're just throwing ideas out there left and right that really don't, like, have any lasting impact, so who knows? Like, I felt like, I mean, honestly, overall, I mean, I haven't made this obvious by now. I went into the show wanting to really, like, find this, like, hidden gem, and I was just really just disappointed by pretty much everything in the show. There was like certain characters I thought were kind of interesting, even though like they weren't really fleshed out. I thought, for instance, Jizo, he was a pretty interesting character at the start. It's just like they didn't really build on anything outside of the first few episodes with him.
Well, maybe it's just because I haven't watched a show like this, and I've been watching a lot of shonen like recently, like. No character's, like, really overpowered, which is, I guess is a good thing, but, like, just seeing the main characters constantly lose every episode, it's kind of gets old. Like, that's the thing. I feel like no one... There was not a significant battle where anyone really won. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. But, you know, like, outside of that, though, like, there were, like, you know, like, a lot of the side characters... Well, like, I say a lot... There aren't a lot of side characters, but I thought at the very least Mary was an interesting character. I thought, I would like to see more with Mary's backstory and, like, you know, like, at least I would have liked to see them at least hit that they were on the right track of finding her brother by the end of it.
Here's the thing. So what did you get? Because I put together that his original, like, hand guy was her brother. Did you put that together?
No, how did you come to that?
Because like one of the final episodes, his silhouette looks like when he has him in the back of his car or whatever. It looks like the same guy, and then also the guy he had the final job with mentioned her brother's name, and he says he's looking for you or something like that.
Brother's name does start with a V, right?
Yeah, Victor.
There was a V on that, yeah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah,
I guess
that does make sense.
So his original handler, I think, is the engineer, because it makes sense. I'm pretty sure that it was her brother. And that's probably why he takes care of her or is there in the first place, right? But the thing is, they also set up, like, he doesn't have a memory. But, like, does he have no memory to what point? Like, does he have some memory of the war? Does he have no memory, like... Before, I mean, I guess there's no memory before the war, but when he got converted. But does he have memories that start from the beginning? Like, how far back does his memories go? They don't really fully establish that either. Because he seems to remember a lot of stuff from the war period.
I never really got that he remembered much of anything from the war, because, like...
Well, no, because remember, really he's like, those are my... Like, he remembered that the one guys were his commanders, and...
I remember him talking about how he could recognize his superiors and stuff.
So he knew who they were, so he obviously... And he remembers his handler guy, or the hands guy, and which I think is her brother, because, like... It basically foreshadowed it in the silhouette at the end, and I think, I don't know if he's going to be evil or what's going to have happened to him, but I think he is a major element
to the story. I think he's like some major higher up in the Baru, how do you pronounce that corporation, Baru?
I can't, well, you watch the English dub, you might know, I was watching it in Japanese, so, I mean.
I don't know, I'm not even going to try. Let's see, I thought that, like, yeah, I would have liked to see more with her brother. I would have liked to see, like, more designs for the overextended, too. Like, the overextended seems to be what the main focus of the show is.
But there's not that many overextended, supposedly, though. That's the thing. And, like,
a lot of the people, like, I mean, it seemed like, because some of the people in the show that they just called the regular extended, like, I couldn't tell how what makes you overextended. Like, apparently the guy with the... Like that guy that was working for that terrorist group, he wasn't overextended, right? He was just a regular extended.
Yeah, but he was.
But most of his body was robotic. So how much of your body has to get converted before you become overextended? Or is it just certain types of modifications that make you overextended?
I think it's like if it's like a, maybe it's something to do with your actual brain, like is converted into the subbrain or something. But because I don't know, because the whole subbrain thing confused me as well.
Yeah, the
Also,
subbrain thing confused me too. What is the subbrain? Is it like a second brain you get, or is it like a.
well, apparently it's like a second brain that controls the cybernetics in the body. So like that's kind of a weak point. But the overextendeds usually have it in a hidden spot. Or expect the older ones, I guess, not even necessarily newer ones. But the thing is, they don't really set up, are there newer overextendeds, or are the overextendeds just a legacy older program? Because they kind of set it up where all the overextendeds existed in the past, and no one does that anymore. You know? And
Yeah, I mean.
okay, but can we talk about, I want to talk about this, the cigarettes. I thought the cigarettes were the dumbest shit ever.
Yes, I'm glad you agree with me on that. Oh my God. Like, really?
I
No,
mean,
it's medication. It's
I
medication.
get it looks cool having the gun smoke a cigarette,
Oh man, I
but
like you. I you you it's like that pun, like the smoking gun. It's literally a smoking gun. Like yeah, like the whole cigarette thing, having like he needs it in order to keep control and stuff. I'm like, in this futuristic society where they can augment so much of your body,
yeah.
the only way they can think to medicate these overextended people is with some overpowered cigarettes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have a hard time believing that.
It's just a
Like
it's a weird concept. But I guess maybe that's just kind of a reference to how society controls people with medication and addiction and cigarettes or well,
yes.
here's another thing. Okay, so you know Pepper, right? She's like the one hands that controls the other gun slave.
Oh, the hot chick.
Yeah, so she
Oh.
controls the other gunslave unit 7, right? If you noticed, we didn't really get much of their backstory either, especially the 7 backstory, because he apparently sounds like a little kid, right?
Yeah, I
At
mean, he sounds
least,
like Alphonse. Well, in the English dub, anyway, he sounds like
yeah,
Alphonse
because
from Full Metal Alchemist.
in the Japanese, he sounded like a young kid, and his name is 7, so I don't know if he was maybe 7 years old when he got converted or
Well, I'm
whatever.
thinking maybe he's number 7 out of a group, out of a series of
Well, my
gunslaves.
thing is, if Juzo doesn't have memories, where did he get his name?
That is a good question.
Like, I don't know if.
Maybe he was like a number 2, like he.
Well, I don't know if that name is a reference to something in
Or
Japanese that we don't
like,
get.
and when did he get overextended? Because at some point I mean, I'm assuming he was born human, right? So,
Yeah, and there's the. Well, yeah, he was definitely born human, and then there was the Gunslave program, where I guess that's where they lost all their memories being before that. So, like, they were born as gunslaves. And that's kind of the whole story from that. But what I was getting at with the whole 7 plot line, 7 apparently uses lollipops instead of cigarettes, if you noticed.
Oh, so like they had to
But.
go. I mean, if you're gonna come up with a dumb idea, you might as well follow it up with an even dumber one.
Well, because, like, if you notice
So.
in the anime intro, like, he always has a lollipop, and then she mentions about giving him a lollipop, and he doesn't need to smoke. So I assume he has the same problems that Juzo has, so, but I think they have, like, the medication in the lollipop or something like that for him, I guess. That's what I'm thinking. I don't really know, though.
Well, what I'm thinking is. Well, why couldn't they just give them a pill or something, like,
Or, yeah.
or like literally anything?
And
Also,
also,
another thing that's,
I was gonna say, he also loses an arm at the end of the series, and no, they don't
yeah.
even acknowledge it. I didn't even realize he lost his arm until he, like, was getting up. No one had even acknowledged that happened, really.
Well, they did stick with keeping them, like, because I think he loses his arm like episode 10 or whatever, and he never gets that arm back.
But Mary's a master engineer. You're telling me they can't find an arm for him?
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense
I'm sure
either.
he's gonna get an arm back soon. It just was weird that he didn't
Maybe
have an
a
arm.
super overpowered arm eventually, like, or maybe he'll get like an arm that can stretch around to the back of his head so he can pull his own damn trigger.
Well, okay, so he remember at the final episode that the floating hands or whatever? Is he gonna keep that floating hand? Because at the end
Yeah,
it.
that would be awesome if he could like gain control of that floating hand. He could
Well,
use
do
it to
we
pull his
know
own
where the
trigger.
floating hand came from? Because they left that whole story on a cliffhanger too. So,
Well,
like,
they hinted that it might have been like that the hand itself is an extended. So
yeah,
that hand is actually a person.
but why did it want to protect the chick and
Well,
then.
remember like somebody, I forgot who said it in the last episode, that He like oh I think Jizo said that like her parent I mean her dot her dad hired the hand to protect her.
Well, they said they thought that's what happened, but they didn't know that if that's what happened. That's because that was the
Yeah, I
whole
mean,
thing. They're like,
honestly, I don't even think that's gonna even be relevant because it doesn't seem like that girl getting haunted by the ghost or whatever, it doesn't seem like she's gonna be coming back as a recurring character. It
no.
seemed like a one-off thing that
But
just
I
kind
think that drive is super important for the part two. I mean, and that's the thing, because a
If
part
that's
of me.
that hand is still around in part two.
That's the thing. There's so many stuff, plot lines like that. There's so many leftover things that.
I mean, they've thrown around like tons of plot lines. Like, what happened to the two girls that Tetsuro was trying to save in the beginning of the series? Like the girl that turns into the giant spider thing and the other girl that was with her. What happened to those two?
Wait, what two?
You know those two that were in like that underground area. They were like yo were like they were like
Oh yeah,
trying to capture.
they said they both survived. That's the thing I didn't understand too. I was confused because remember, he has like a flashback. He's like, I couldn't save anybody, and he's like, he thought about those kids, but they didn't even die, right? The only character that died in the entire series so far was that one kid at the end.
What kid?
The one dude who does the terrorist shit, and then like he takes him to his sister's, and then he dropped dead, right?
Oh yeah.
He's the only guy that dies the entire series.
Oh yeah, actually the golden head dude, he died.
Oh yeah, I guess he does die. He gets killed.
Yeah, but like in both cases, like those characters that those their deaths, I'm not saying that, their deaths were actually I am saying their de both of their deaths were po totally meaningless because these characters were introduced just for one specific plot line, not even a story arc, just one measly plot line, and then they are killed off at the end of that plot line. Like, if you're gonna introduce the character, build him up, and kill him in the same episode, it's not gonna have an impact of like a character that, you've developed over the course of like a few episodes and like established a relationship with some of the main characters and stuff, and then kill them off. Like,
Yeah.
so like it see it doesn't seem like they were going for much of a dramatic impact with like depths in this show. Another thing I was like I really do want to like ask, 'cause maybe where is Jizo's eyes at? Notice they hinted that early on that like he puts the blindfold over where like the revolver thing is,
Yeah.
and Mary's like, your eyes aren't even there. What's the point of you wearing a blindfold? And I'm thinking, where the fuck are his eyes? So,
I have no idea. I think maybe they're in his mouth or something, but then his mouth's not open.
if his eyes are in his mouth, that means like he's constantly breathing smoke over his eyes
Well,
when he's smoking those cigarettes and
my
stuff.
question is, so are we led to believe the revolver is entirely his head, or does he have a regular brain in there or any part of his head in there? Or is it just like I don't fully understand that.
I don't either. I mean, like, I'm assuming the way it is, like, his head would have to be, I mean, his brain would have to be in his neck or something.
Yeah.
This, because there's, I mean, his brain can't be in the revolver part because that's all metal, and it doesn't seem to have any organic connection to the rest of his body, as far as I can tell. Because otherwise, he would be able to, like, shoot his own gun rather than having to depend on somebody else to yank the back of his head to pull the trigger. Which is So, I guess the next thing I wanted to get to, because this is obviously something that's near and dear to my heart in every anime, is and I noticed you put it down as a category, and I thank you for that. Best waifu.
Okay, let's get into the best waifu then. So
All right. I have already said Olivier, and I will
Olivier.
die on that hill.
Well, let's see. Who do
Like.
we well we have Mary, Olivier, Karen, Christina, Scarlet, and Pepper. Obviously, Christina is your favorite.
No, why is Christina even a woman? Isn't that a man dressed as a woman?
I don't know what the fuck that was. Like,
were you joking with this?
Of course I was joking. Like, well, some people might be into the trannies. I don't know. Maybe that is someone's wife.
That's not even a tranny. It's really what?
I don't know.
It's just a cross-dressing man.
No, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be a girl. I don't know. I don't know.
Christina is this world's equivalent of RuPaul.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So besides, obviously, that whatever.
So I mean, I'm just gonna, you know, I obviously Olivia, she's just leagues ahead of every other woman in the show.
Well, I hate to break it to you, I really do think Mary is the best character, best waifu. I have to go with Mary.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Well, okay. Wait, what? Listen. So neither of those characters, we got any backstory. We got a little bit more backstory of them in the last few episodes. Like both of those characters. We got a tiny dive into their backstory.
Like, neither of them have much backstory, but Olivier has a lot more front story, if you know what I mean.
But, I mean, Mary did say that she practically has C-sized tits, okay? And that's pretty acceptable, okay?
Well, Olivier's is double D's pushing into the F's.
But I think Mary as an overall character is just more interesting and fun.
I don't know. Olivier's character is I found much more interesting. Like,
she seems like a hard ass. She doesn't seem like she'd be fun at all to hang out with. She's pretty annoying. She literally
that can of that really disgusting smelling stuff and like remember, I like the
what the fuck was that smelly shit too? Like I don't understand that at the end. Like okay, her dad gave that to her. Is the tuna smell so badly it just poisons? And weren't those her own men at the end?
Like, she smells that stuff to calm down.
That's why I don't understand.
Like, people, Jizo, I didn't even see a nose on Jizo, yet he couldn't even stand being around smelling that stuff.
I just didn't get that part at all. I really didn't. It was super duper confusing.
Yeah.
What about Karen and Pepper?
Karen was like, I you know what? I'm gonna say Karen.
Karen was the first like the nun.
Yeah,
the nun
I,
chick.
I wish she had more appearances because I felt like she was gonna be a really interesting character.
Do you think she's gonna come back? I don't know why she, because they mention her very briefly. Pepper mentions that it's her sister at the end.
I kind of knew it was her sister.
I mean, they look identical.
When I saw Pepper, I thought it was Karen because you hadn't seen Karen for several episodes at that point, and then you see Pepper show up, and it's not like you remember these characters' names because they mentioned the characters' names like once.
Are they supposed to be like twins?
I think Karen's older.
You think?
I mean,
do you feel like they have some significance? Like they're like related to somebody, or like where do you think they came from? Were they like experiments too, or because they don't have that many modifications?
I think the government was experimenting on augmented boobs. Yeah. And they succeeded.
And the only other character I put on the list here is Scarlet. Did you like her at all?
That's the, like, she's like the, like, what, assistant or daughter of that guy in the...
The daughter of the, yeah, barbershop guy.
I mean, we don't even get to see much of her. You see her in that one scene when they get
well,
captured.
She's just
then
the tropey...
The jail cell.
She's the tropey character. She just is in love with him for some reason. And,
I mean, it like, the thing is, like, they introduced these... I mean, it's going back to my main problem with the show, is that they introduce, like, stuff. Like, they'll introduce new characters and then forget that those characters existed, like, by the next scene. So, like, we didn't really get to see much of her other than her whining in the barbershop place. And then, like, you see her in the closing credits and stuff. You know, her in her swimming suit and stuff. but that's pretty much it.
What does it take for a character to become a waifu, though? You know, that's the question that we're really asking in this category. Like, what does
I
it
think
take?
You know my answer to that already, Josh.
I think Scarlet has bigger tits.
No, she does. Are you kidding?
I don't know, man.
Olivier, she's I would say this much. Olivier is the only thing about the show I cannot find anything wrong with.
I really didn't like her. As a character, I didn't like her backstory. I didn't like what she was about. She seemed so conflicted. I still didn't understand her confliction because she's like, Her dad wanted her to follow the rules and be by the book, so then she decides to follow what her dad wants, but at the end, she decides to betray what he wants, but then Juzo's like, no, that's not actually what you want, you want to follow the rules, so then she chooses to follow the rules again, and then she just opened up some tuna.
Don't you like the, the moral of the story that they introduce at the end of that? It's like, she went and followed the rules at the end, captured him, got evidence. I mean, captured the goldhead dude, got evidence against him, stuff.
Yeah, and then he gets killed.
And then the dude was like, do you know who made me a hero in the first place? It's the same government that you work for. And then, the government killed him to quiet him down, basically saying that following the rules will get you nowhere. So,
well, that's why I didn't understand her story arc. I really, because, like, her dad died because he followed the rules, so it made no sense for her to, like, want to follow in his, like, wasn't that his mistake in the first place? Like, why would she want to follow his example? I didn't really make sense, and I don't see how she became the director being the way she is. She doesn't seem very good at managing anything, and they so easily overthrew her. Maybe it was just because she...
Well, you remember when they first introduce her, she's like saying to Jizo that the people below me don't listen to me, and the people above me just ignore everything that I suggest.
That's what I don't understand. How does she this?
She basically admits that she's a useless puppet.
She's a shitty director. That's what I'm saying. She's a She's like the worst director of anything.
No, it's not that she's a bad director. It's that that system is so corrupt that her position is meaningless.
But she has so many people underneath her. But she still chooses.
The people underneath her still report to people higher than her. So her position is entirely meaningless.
It doesn't make sense that she's the director, but she decides to bring in a freelancer on a mission just because she has a deal with him or whatever.
The reason she brought him in is because she wanted that guy caught alive, and she knew that the higher ups wanted him dead. So.
But I'm saying that went against. It just really didn't make sense.
I mean, that part made sense to me in the fact that we both worked at Walmart. We know how corruption works. think about this. Do you remember times where you would have a manager or whatever, not even a senior manager, but maybe a department manager that just kissed up to the co-managers or the store managers so much that listening to code 10 over that department.
I love how you're comparing a fictional anime government structure to Walmart.
I mean, it's basically the same thing. It's a corrupt national conglomerate. And in many ways, I think this anime, the Baruin Corporation seems to draw many parallels from Walmart.
So, but for what character do you think has, the most potential of, the waifus, then? To do more?
This is going to seem surprising, but I'm going to have to say both Karen and Pepper. Simply because, right now, we already kind of have an idea of what would be the main driving motivations for characters Mary or Olivier, but Karen and Pepper seem to be they're still a mystery, and that mystery makes them more interesting because it leaves something to build on with them. What caused them to go down a path that they're on, and
assume that they were just kind of born into it, right?
I mean, we don't know that, though. We know nothing about them. These characters, if they choose to, if the series goes on and they choose to, really say, hey, these characters are more than just two crazy chicks who just, want to kill people because a corporation tells them to, and they have, they have a realistic motivation and a driving force behind what they're doing, and goals outside of just being a puppet for a corporation, I think that they could be more interesting.
Well, here's my theory. I think that they could be the CEO's daughters, or they could be one of the other executives' daughters.
Well, if they were the CEO's daughters, they'd be Tetsuro's sisters.
That's what I think. I really think that. I don't know. I feel like that could be what it is. Because they already set up that he doesn't care about his kids. So it makes sense that these elite warriors are his kids. I don't know. Or maybe one of the other executives. we didn't really get to see what any of the executives look like, so we got silhouettes of them.
I don't even know what's going on with that. I will tell you what, like off of, I can tell you what's the least interesting waifu.
Who?
You already know. Come on.
Who?
Look at your list, Josh.
Okay.
Who do you think I don't want to know any more thing more about?
Christina.
Yes.
I mean, okay. Well, and I didn't even put the one chicks on here just because they're like
the
little kids. The, but they're like kids though, so I mean,
are they kids? Like
I don't know.
They look older than Tetsuro.
Bro, that's how anime is though. I just didn't want to put them on the list. They were like in, like at least all of these other characters made at least an appearance in two episodes.
The thing is though.
Karen was I think only in two episodes. Yeah.
I think Karen was only in one episode.
Was she? I don't even know. She was.
She appeared in an episode where she like you know takes Tetsuro's body and then Jizo like saves him from that train that they're on like 5 seconds late, and that's the last time you ever see her.
Yeah, that's true. But
so,
yeah, well,
but I think that the fact that she was mentioned in more than one episode kind of makes her more important. Because the thing is, if like for instance, if Pepper is like if she has a gun slave that she controls, does Karen also have a gun slave or?
I don't think so. And like, so they also set up the idea that maybe Mary or Tetsuro would become the hands for Juzo, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, they were really kind of like emphasizing that Tetsuro was going to take over. Cause you remember
but
when Tetsuro
you say
was...
that, but I feel like Mary is just as part of much as part of the team as Tetsuro is. They're kind of all
Tetsuro,
the team now.
Like Mary's like her, she has a role already. She's the engineer. She's the person that has
but
to fix.
But I think in the original war though, the engineer was also the hands. I think that's how it worked. I think the engineer worked with the gunslave.
But you remember like when Jizo first saved Tetsuro and brought him back to his office, Mary's like find a new partner already or something like that?
Yeah, I know they're foreshadowing him to become the partner, but he already has the harmony power. It just seems like it would be redundant for him to have the power of harmony but then rely on the gunslave.
Well, the thing is that harmony power, as cool as it is, it usually ends up becoming pretty worthless for him.
Well, I'm saying like that's his whole point of his character though. Like that should be what he focuses on. So like for him to be the hands and the harmony user is kind of stupid. So I'm thinking Mary would become, because the whole point of the person who uses the gunslave is someone he trusts, and I think he's trusting both of them, so they both might be able to use his gun at some point.
Here's the thing though, Tetsuro, I don't know, it's like Tetsuro is such a useless character that you have to give him something.
I mean,
well, I remember in the last episode was like the last.
His most notable moment is getting a pack of cigarettes to.
Yes, that's the most useful thing he did in all 12 episodes.
He didn't even
save Jizo in that part.
Yeah,
it was Olivier who like smoked the cigarette and breathed the smoke into his mouth.
Yeah, and he needed her to drive him there and show him where he was. Like he didn't really do anything.
Yeah, and like I did like the last episode that Tetsuro appears in before the ghost episode comes up. I think it was the ghost episode at the beginning that when like Jizo's having that conversation with Tetsuro. Tetsuro said, like, you know, just starts crying. He's like, I'm so useless, and was I ever really used to anybody? And I was thinking, no, you weren't. So...
Well, okay. That's the difference, though. Because, you know, if this was a shonen, he would be the main character. But it's
Tetsuro?
Not. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if Tetsuro was the main character, I promise you, nobody would have heard of this show.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if this was just, like, a regular shonen, then he would be the main character, and he would, like, master his ability and become, like, awesome. But since it's not
See, the thing is, like, you know, the thing is, say that, but even, like, even if they had made Tetsuro an overpowered character, the thing about shonens, and I do generally hate most main characters in shonen, but everything about the main shonen is, like, each of the main characters have, like, a driving motivation.
Yeah.
They have something they want to achieve for them. Naruto wants to become Hokage. Midoriya wants to be the number one hero. and like, you know, Goku just wants to be the worst father in the universe. But Tetsuro, he has no motivation whatsoever. He has nothing that he's trying to accomplish for himself. He just wants to help out other people because it's the right thing to do. And that's not a motivation that people can get behind.
He wants to save people. I mean, that's kind of like
No, see, the thing is, though, it's like it's a motivation that's so bland and so generic that nobody cares about it. Like, you know, if you give a character a motivation that, like, you know, is like something that they want for themselves.
They kind of foreshadowed that he wanted to save the other kids in the institute or whatever. But I feel like they should have emphasized that more. They should have made him, like,
I mean, even that, I don't think would have been that interesting. I think a better motivation for him would have been, like, you know, like, you know, going to kill his father or taking down a Baru Corporation or something like that. That's a motivation that has, like, a real, like, a logical instinct. You know what he has to do to accomplish that goal. But I just want to save everybody. Like, when does that goal ever ending? That's like, you know, like, you know, that's the easiest comparison to that is like the war on terror. When are you ever going to win that? Come on. Like, but like, if you would give a character a motivation that they want for themselves that has a logical end state, something that they can eventually accomplish through their own actions. Like I said, with Naruto becoming Hokage, when he becomes Hokage, he accomplished that goal. It ended his arc. When Midoriya becomes the number one hero, that will end his arc. And that's a logical conclusion that gives him something to work towards. If Naruto made his motivation to be like, I want to be the best ninja ever, like, there's always going to be a better ninja, but there's only going to be one Hokage.
Well, I mean, it's not even, like, Tetsuro's lack of focus. I mean, it's all the characters. Like, well, I mean, Mary, that's why I like Mary. That's why I think she's my waifu, because at least she has a goal to find her brother. She's the only character in the show that has a tangible goal.
I think Olivier has a tangible goal, too.
What? What is her fucking goal?
I don't know.
I don't think she knows. That's the thing.
Like, well, actually, she does have a goal.
Does she want to follow her father's footsteps? Does she want to do her own thing? Does she want to be with Juzo?
You remember with the backstory with her and her father, she was saying that she wanted to make it up to a high enough position within
She's the fucking director! She's the fucking director! She got there!
She got there, so she's accomplished it. But I think she wants to get high enough to the point where she can end the corruption.
Do you think end of the series she's going to be, like, the president of the government or something?
Hopefully.
Is that what you think? I really couldn't say what it would be.
Well, there's one more thing I did want to, like, ask you about, because this was something that's kind of been bothering me, too, bothered me quite a bit, is, like, Jizo, doesn't it seem like a lot of the women in the show are, like, romantically attracted to him?
Well, it's a little bit of a harem.
I mean, this is some bizarre shit right here. So
I mean, he's pretty cool, mysterious.
Dude, like, you, like, for instance, like remember how he got all, like, you know, he got all hot, hot and heavy when he found out that Olivier, like, basically, like, you know, gave him that kiss, like,
yeah,
like,
and
stuff.
There's been moments with Scarlet and. But then, like,
and then the part with Pepper,
that's what I was gonna get to before we get off the waifu. The Pepper part with him,
like Pepper, she just full on implied that she wants to get it on with this gunhead.
Well,
she wants both guns to shoot off for her.
She wants to own him or whatever.
Well, I think she wanted to do some really dirty stuff, like you remember Mary when Pepper was like just licking all over. She said, "Yo, like, you know, you're mine now." And
so,
stuff. And, like,
but the thing is,
Mary was
with,
like,
with Pepper,
like,
though, we're led to believe that Pepper at the
end is crazy.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, she operated on her own accord, though. At the end, there, like, she's the one who seeked him out. She wasn't underneath their orders, and the only reason she backed off is because, you know, the kid was there. That's the only reason she left. So, but, like, her goal, she wants two gun slave units. Could she even use two at once? I just don't understand. If you already have a gun slave, why would you need two of them? What
Honestly, I think don't. She's trying to have. I think she's trying to have Jizo's little gun baby. That's what I think. So,
can gun slaves even have kids?
I don't know. That's the thing that's bothering me. I don't know.
I don't know how much of his human
body has been like extended. Like, does he even have the human parts down there?
And he said he doesn't even feel pain.
Yeah, I mean, like everything about that, I was like, how would it work? It's like, you know, you think about it like the Little Mermaid. How do they do it?
I mean, I don't know if that's the most apt comparison, but that's definitely
it
a
is,
comparison.
Because it gives you those same thoughts. I remember when I was a kid, the first time watching Little Mermaid, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I mean, that part just really bothered me to no end, and it's gonna bother me probably like for a while. I mean, honestly, maybe that part alone would be enough to get me to read ahead on a wiki or something, but...
Well, let's just get into the last category, just the best moments and aspects. I mean, what overall was your favorite, like, moment you think you saw on the entire show? Like, what was the moment you're like, oh, this might be good? Did you have a moment like that?
Let's see. I guess my favorite moment would have probably been, like I said, that first fight scene early on, where it wasn't even really a fight scene, but when, like, Jizo starts to hint that he's a real badass that's kind of holding back when he was fighting that dude in the alley.
The Cunningham guy, right?
Yeah. Like, when he was fighting that dude in the alley, and he started to release his,
That was probably my favorite part, too.
Nothing came of that, but it was, like, the only time that...
Well, they were foreshadowing the part he did later, when he actually
they foreshadowed it, and they were building up to it, and then when it finally happened, you're like,
I just wanted to see them actually pull the back trigger, and it be, like, some super ultimate attack. I don't know if they're saving that for the next part, or... I just feel like, since this was just the introductory part... If they wanted to keep people watching, they shouldn't have ended where they did, and just kind of overall. But, I mean, as far as my favorite moment, that was probably my favorite moment. And then just overall, I enjoyed the animation. I mean, Madhouse, who does the production, is probably one of my favorite anime production, like, studios. Just because they always make high-quality stuff.
I really do like Madhouse. And, like, I think as far as, like, Madhouse did their job, like... I love the art style, I love the animation, I love the aesthetics, everything about the show that from like an artistic point of view was great. It just fell apart for me with like, you know, everything else.
Well, that's why like a part of me wants to kind of know what happens, and I don't know how true this anime has been to the manga. Maybe the manga is more interesting. I don't really know. I feel like it's Madhouse is usually pretty good at like doing a direct recreation of the manga. Pretty much all of their stuff that I've seen, it's pretty much one to one to the manga. So yeah.
Honestly, I feel like, you know, for what Madhouse did, like they did a great job. I think, you know, if you were going into the show like just looking for, I think overall this show, if you were just going to the show looking for like some action show that may have had just enough plot there to give you something to nibble on between the action scenes and stuff, this might be a good holdover.
I just don't think it has as much depth as some people have. Like the
illusions
and all of that. Yeah. Like I don't really feel like any of that.
Like I the thing is I watched Mother's Basement's video on it, and like, you know, he was praising this anime, talking about how it was. He was talking about it like it was a masterpiece or something. I was like, well, you know, this dude, like, you know, like other stuff that he's recommended in the past, I have enjoyed. So I was thinking, it's going to be pretty good.
Did you enjoy the soundtrack and the music?
I don't even remember the soundtrack. So.
I mean, I liked kind of, there's a lot of aspects of it.
I like the closing theme. I do like the closing theme song, but overall, I like the music during the show and stuff. It didn't really stick out for me that much. There was nothing that really was memorable for me. The thing is, I do like a lot of anime, soundtracks. And when I do like them, I'll go back and listen to the soundtracks for animes I like. Like, you know that One Punch Man theme.
Oh yeah.
You won't forget that theme,
Even if you've only watched one episode. One Punch Man, it's not even just the main theme. Like, even the music and the I feel
even
like
the music during like a lot of the other fights and stuff, it's like it's stuff that you it just sticks with you. Well, the same thing with My Hero, like the that fight theme, Yusei Run or whatever.
Well, that theme
sticks with you.
There was no themes in this that really did that for me. There's no music that makes me feel emotion. Like, some of those anime themes, they like those themes make you feel certain. Like, when you hear the theme, you are in a certain emotion. So, you know, a lot of animes have those.
They played them at the right times, too. So, like, when you're watching them in context, especially, like, you remember, like, the last episode of One Punch, or last episode of Season 1 where, like, you know, Saitama's fighting Boros and stuff.
Yeah.
And it starts playing the One Punch theme song.
Yeah.
That fight was already epic enough.
And then even right after that fight, too, like, just, like, when he defeats him, the sad kind of, like, soundtrack that plays after. It's, like, just perfect. And I think all the best anime soundtracks, they have that, like, mix of, like, really powerful music. Like, music that gets you hyped, music that makes you feel like, you know, something's more awesome or epic than it actually is.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if you're... that more somber music that goes with the tone of your anime. Like, I think a good mix for, like a good example comparing to something like this would be Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Cowboy Bebop, like, you know, like, it has, like, a lot of those, like, more somber, like, the jazz, like, type. I mean, it has a lot of, like, jazz music in general, but, like, that jazz, like, you know, with the somber, like, tone and stuff.
Cowboy Bebop's music's really amazing, though.
Yes, Cowboy Bebop's entire soundtrack is amazing. And the thing is, it was amazing because it chose the right music to go with the feeling the show was trying to invoke. I didn't feel like No Gun's life had that. I didn't really think they had like a unifying vision on what tone they were trying to achieve with the music and stuff. So they really relied heavily. I mean, I guess they weren't trying to achieve much of anything through the mood of the scenes alone. They depended on like. I mean, I guess I'll wait until we go into final thoughts before I start going into this. But
yeah.
Like the unifying, like it didn't seem like the music was like a main thought in building the overall show. It seemed really like they were focusing more on the animation.
And that's kind of what Madhouse usually does. But you know, Madhouse did do One Punch Man season one as well. So
yeah, and that was a masterpiece. That was a masterpiece. Season two was garbage.
The animation is like definitely not a question. I just feel like. For the vibe of it, I mean, there's some decent... Even the opening theme song, I feel like it sets the wrong mood for the show.
Yeah.
It really didn't put me in the mood to watch this show. Like, and I almost listened to the theme every time I watched an episode because I just had it, like, on playback watching it on Hulu. So I listened to the opening and ending theme almost every time. And the ending theme was decent, but, I mean, neither of them really felt the vibe. And I feel like that's kind of important for, like, if you're just starting the show to kind of get you in the mindset of it.
But
overall, animation's probably my favorite aspect of the show. Just the quality of animation.
You want to get to final thoughts?
Yeah, let's go ahead and you can go ahead and go first with what your final thoughts are.
Well, my final thoughts, I mean, if, you know, I haven't made it clear throughout this entire podcast, is like, I like the animation, I like the art style, I felt like it had a really interesting world. And it had characters that could have been interesting if they had developed the characters or, like, you know, given anything about any of these characters' backstories, given the characters any kind of meaningful motivations. But overall, it seemed like, you know, the storytelling was kind of, like, all over the place. They introduce plot lines and then forget about them 5 seconds later. They introduce a lot of the backstory and a lot of, like, concepts through huge exposition dumps that throw out like new terminology like it's no tomorrow, like you don't know what half the stuff they're talking about is, and then they're explaining what it is in exposition dumps to other characters who already understand what they're talking about. So it feels like you're basically like reading like a wiki on the show while you're watching it. So overall, I had high hopes for it, and I was really let down.
I mean, so what would you say? Would you recommend this to anyone?
I I would not recommend this. It was a hard watch, and I don't feel like I got anything out of the time I invested into
And
watching
you said
it.
you're not going to be picking it back up for the second
No,
part.
like there was like, like I said, I normally give an anime 3 episodes to catch my interest with their concept and to build up the character, like build up interest in the show. Like, if you can't do that in 3 episodes, then usually I won't even give you a chance after that. But I gave this anime 12 episodes to give me something to want to look forward to, and by the end of the 12th episode, I just didn't care. And so I'm overall, I was my like, I mean, I'm not gonna say it's definitely far from the worst anime I've seen, like, even in the past month, but I would not recommend this, simply because it's like an anime that focuses more on style than substance. It looks great. The animation is the highest quality animation I've seen in a long time, but it just falls flat in every other category. And overall, like, it's just not interesting to watch.
Yeah. And I honestly, I feel kind of very similarly. I liked some aspects of it. I just feel like the pacing and the way the story was told wasn't done kind of in a good way or in an engaging way to really keep you engaged. By the fourth episode, I was completely bored, and every episode I was watching after that, I watched it over the course of the last week, and I watched it piecemeal. I could only stand a couple episodes at a time. It's really not a good sign. And especially maybe if the episode 12 had ended better, then I might have had more motivation to check out part two. But at this point, as I am interested in parts of the world, and maybe I'll read the manga sometime to kind of see where the story is. Maybe if I hear the manga ends or something like that, I might check it out one day. But and maybe years from now, I'll check out the second part. But I really just don't care to pick it up as it comes out, especially if it is gonna do like an original video. Like an ending or something like that, because I really just don't know the focus of where the show is going. And even though, like you said, it has a lot of good elements with just the style of it, the story just they really screwed it up, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, the story. I mean, it's not that the story didn't have potential. It, like I said, it had infinite amounts of
It
potential, which
has
makes it even
potential.
more disappointing.
They just didn't focus on the aspects I think a
Yeah,
lot of people
I
were
mean,
interested in.
I think that's what really disappointed me more than anything is that they had so much potential with this story. They could have done so much with it, and then like they just kind of like, blew it. And so for me, like, it was a boring show, but it was also really disappointing in that it's not like it had a bad concept. It had a great concept. It just didn't. It was so poorly executed that I don't even know why they bothered. But yeah, those are, I guess,
Well,
overall, like.
what would you say though of, there's so many like manga series out there. Do you really think this one should have even got an anime at this point from what we saw?
No.
'Cause there's a lot of these. That's why a part of me just does want to check out the manga, 'cause I feel like some stories like this are maybe better in manga form, 'cause these are more geared towards adult readers that are,
I
more
mean,
about
yeah,
the
I
politics
think
and stuff like that.
maybe it could have worked as an anime if they had have just made it like a different style. If they wanted to make it, which it seemed like that what they were going with is more of an episodic style. Like, if you're gonna go with an episodic style like of anime, you need to have like complete self-contained stories that, can fit into one episode. So
Yeah, and that's why
something
I
like
feel
what.
like the manga, like if it was like a story of the week type of thing, so like every
Yeah.
manga chapter is like, oh, looks, Juzo got a new client this week, let's see what adventures he'll go into, and there's kind of that overarching story of like eventually like the plot advances, but that in anime form it just didn't work because the plot
Yeah.
doesn't
I mean,
advance at all.
there are anime that managed to pull that off too. Like, a good example would be like, you've seen Case Closed?
Yes, I have actually, yeah.
Like, I think Case Closed does that really well, 'cause like they set up an like overarching plot in the first few episodes of like, Conan becoming a little kid and stuff, and then like, like him, and the main goal is for him to figure out who turned him into a kid and try to become an adult again. But then each episode after that is just like self-contained episodes about the mystery of the week or whatever. So it doesn't depend on large exposition dumps. It just depends on information relevant to that episode.
Yeah.
And
This, I mean, this that storytelling show... does work. I mean, obviously, Doctor Who, one of my favorite shows of all time, that's what they do, and it works well. It just doesn't work well in this story because...
Yeah, because they didn't have any focus on that. They were focusing on telling an overarching plot when they didn't have an overarching plot to tell a story about. So, yeah.
And no characters really had goals that were something that they were working on progressing. Because it seemed like each time they were starting to progress on the main story goal, they would just go back to his base and then get a new client and then go on another mini-adventure. And I guess I get that that's leading up to something probably with that flash drive or whatever at the end or the memory stick, but I just don't care enough to follow through now. Yeah, so.
And I think that one saying pretty much sums up what I think both of us feel is that by the end of it, you just don't care.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be it for our first podcast.
Well, you want to announce what we're doing next week?
All right, yeah. So for next week, we're going to be discussing Charlotte, which is another 13-episode anime. I think, we'll wait until, next week, but I think, this is going to be a lot more interesting conversation than what we had about No Game Life.
Well, I've never seen it, so you've seen it, so
yeah.
Are you gonna rewatch it for this, right?
Or do you think actually? The thing is, I just finished watching like 2 days ago, so it's still pretty fresh for me. Okay. I might go back and watch a few episodes here and there just so I can take some notes on it. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that conversation next week.
All right, well, I guess we'll wrap it up here. So we'll be back next Wednesday live, and if not, it will be back up probably the following Thursday on YouTube or wherever we're going to post it. So,
all right. We'll see you.